Okay, good morning. Thank you very much for coming. Today's daf is daf Gimel in Maseches Brachos. And we'll pick up really in the middle of a bunch of conversations that we had yesterday on daf Beis. The Mishnah, the first Mishnah of Shas, the first Mishnah of Maseches Brachos deals with the topic of Kriyat Shema of evening. The Torah says you should say these words when you walk, when you're at home, v'shachbecha uvekumecha, when you lay down and when you wake up. So that means that there's a mitzvah to say, to declare these words when you're laying down, when you're saying Shema at night, and when you wake up in the morning. So the Mishnah discusses the timing of the mitzvah of Shema. Me'emasai. At what point? What's the start point of Koranes HaShema Ba'arvin? At what point do we say it's night, that it fits into the category of the Shachbacha, when you lay down, that it would be the time to say Shema? And how long is B'Shachbacha? So the Mishnah seemingly has no argument about what the start point is. It says the start point is when the stars come out. But instead of being direct and saying when the stars come out, it also teaches us that that's the point when Kohanim, who were impure, who went to the mikvah, become pure. So it says from the time that the Kohanim come in to eat their truma at night. That's the time to start saying Shema. What's the end of the time of saying Shema? Three opinions, according to Belezer, the end of the first third of the night, which is, let's say, 4 hours into the night. According to the Chachamim, the middle of the night. And according to Rabban Gamliel, the entirety of the night, all the way until morning. That was in the Mishnah. Then the Gemara quoted multiple brisos, three brisos we saw yesterday. A brisa is a passage of Tanaim, of statements of the rabbis, contemporaries of the Mishnah, that didn't make it into the Mishnah. Or you have your Gemara, that's also good. Yeah, so Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, page 3a. So it didn't make it into the Mishnah, but it's Tanaim, it's from the same time, so there could easily be, you know, overlap and discussion between what we have in the Mishnah, what we have in the Braisa, the same rabbis, same era, but they were later. And because they were later, they may have sometimes argued, maybe they added more commentary. There's a great need to seeing whatever the Braisas teach. So the Gemara had quoted three Braisos on the issue of the earliest time. Again, in the Mishnah, there's only one time given for the earliest time for Shema, the stars coming out. But in the Braisas, we have lots of different times. The first Braisa said, the earliest time for Shema is when a poor person would eat. Poor person at night eats, according to Rashi, when there's still a little bit of light out, because he can't really afford candles. That's the earliest time for the reading of Shema. Then there was another Braisa that had an argument. Rabbi Meir said, the earliest time for Shema is when people come home on Friday nights. When they come home on Friday nights, everything's already prepared for them. So right away, right after they come home from shul, they eat. And the Chachamim say, no, it's when the stars come out. And then there was a third Braisa, which had five opinions in terms of what's the earliest time for Shema. Rebbe Eliezer says the earliest time for Shema is once on Friday night you can't do work. Kidei Shayom. In other words, Bein HaShmashos, the dusk period. And then there was the view that said that the time for Shema is not Bein HaShmashos, but when the stars come out. Then there was the view that said the time for Shema was when, you know, the poor person comes in to eat. Then there was the view that said that the time for Shema is when a person goes to the mikvah, when the Kohen goes to the mikvah, even before Bein HaShmashos. And then a view that said that the time for Shema is when all people come in to eat a big meal, massive, when people are reclining. That's the earliest time for Shema. So five different opinions about when the time for Shema is. So that's what we had in the third Braisa, and that's what the Gemara discussed to try to... the Gemara, when it looks at all the evidence, says, well, listen, there must be arguments about what's the earliest time for Shema, clearly. And it talks about which time is earlier, which time is later. It ended up saying that the time of the poor person eating is even later than the stars coming out. So that's where we're in. So now let's start here on Gimel Amud Aleph, says the Gemara. When you look at all these sources, the Mishnah and the three Braisas, you end up with contradictions. Number one, Kashya de Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir. You have a contradiction in Rabbi Meir, because in the second Braisa that was quoted on Daf Beis Amud Beis, Rabbi Meir says the time for Shema is when people come in to eat their meal on Friday nights. But then in the third Braisa, Rabbi Meir says that the earliest time for saying Shema is when a Kohen goes to the mikvah before Seis HaKochavim, which Rabbi Yehuda was upset about. He said, if it's before the stars come out, then it's even daylight. It's not B'Shachbacha at all. So the Gemara answers, Terei Tanoia Libud Rabbi Meir. Really, neither source was Rabbi Meir himself. Rabbi Meir didn't write Brisa number 2. He didn't write Brisa number 3. These were students who wrote it down. So one student recorded Rabbi Meir's view one way, and another student recorded Rabbi Meir's view a different way. So there's two different Tanaim arguing what is the view of Rabbi Meir. All right, another question. Kasha Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Lezer. We have a contradiction. What is the view of Rabbi Lezer? In Brisa number 3, Rabbi Lezer is quoted as saying that the earliest time for Shema is Bein Hashmashos, when you can't do work on Friday night. Now, that's when it might be night, you can't do work on Friday night. That's the earliest time for Shema. But meanwhile, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Lezer says, seemingly, the earliest time for Shema is when the stars come out. That's a little bit later than Bein Hashmashos. So, same answer. Trei Tanai, Elibud Rabbi Lezer. Really, neither is Rabbi Lezer. These are two different versions of Rabbi Lezer. These are two Tanaim arguing what is the view of Rabbi Lezer. Ibai is saying, or I can give you another answer for Belezer. Reisha lav Belezer who? In the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says that the earliest time for Shema is when the stars come out, that's not Belezer speaking, that's the Stama. That is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi speaking. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi wrote the Mishnah, he says, what's the earliest time for Shema? When the stars come out. And then, what's the latest time for Shema? That's what you have. Belezer says, the fourth hour. Chachamim say, midnight. Rabbi Gamliel says, all night. But that first line, what's the earliest time for Shema, is not Rabbi Lezer. That's just Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. What's the view of Rabbi Lezer about the earliest time for Shema? That's what we had in Brisa number 3, that the earliest time for Shema, according to Rabbi Lezer, is Bein Hashmashos, when a person can't do work on Friday night. Okay, that really completed yesterday's discussions, which is discussions of the Mishnah. And now we're going to delve into the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. In the Mishnah, we asked the question, what's really the timing for the nighttime Shema? So first we have the discussion about the first time, the beginning of B'Shachbacha, of laying down time. And then we have the end of B'Shachbacha. Does B'Shachbacha mean when you're going to sleep? Or does it mean while you are asleep? If it means when you're going to sleep, that would be Rebbe Eliezer's view. The first 4 hours are when people are going to sleep. If it means when you are asleep, that would be the view of Rabbi Gamliel. All night you could say Shema. And that's also the view, as we're going to see on Daf Dalet, on tomorrow's Daf, that's also the view of the Chacham, who say up until midnight, because really they're saying all night, but they're saying till midnight so that people don't think they have a lot of time and they delay till later. So Rabbi Lezer, though, didn't say until the end of the fourth hour. Again, he used a roundabout language. He said, Ad sofa shmura rishona. You could say Shema till the end of the first shift of angels. In heaven, there are angels singing throughout the night, and they switch. One group moves out, then another group comes in, then another group moves out, another group comes in. So he said, till the end of the first shift of angels. So the Gemara says, why again do you use such roundabout language? Micah Savar Belezer. What does Belezer believe? Ika Savar Shalosh Mishmar Savi Alayla. If he believes that there are three shifts of angels to the night. So again, if you have 12 hours in a night and you have three shifts, how long is each shift? If you have three shifts and there are 12 hours to the night, so each shift would be 4 hours. Then, Lema, you should have said, Ad Arba Shos, you have till the fourth hour. Because sovereign, if he holds Arba Mishmaros Avi Alayla, that there are four shifts of angels, and if you divide 12 by 4, how long is each shift? 3 hours. Lema, you should have said, Ad Shalosh Shos, till the end of the third hour. Why does he use roundabout language, till the end of the fourth hour? Answers the Gemara, La'olam Kasavar Shalosh Mishmaros Avi Alayla. Forever, really, he believes there are three shifts, and what he meant to say was the fourth hour. So why did he say the fourth hour? Why does he say the end of the first shift? If he would have said the fourth hour, you don't know when that is. It's night. They don't have clocks. But if he says the end of the first shift, everybody knows when it is. Because on earth there are things happening when the angels are shifting in heaven. This is what he's teaching us. Lo'olam kasava really hold shalosh mishmaros avi alayla. There are three shifts during the night. V'ha'kamashmalan, this is what he's teaching us by telling us the end of the first shift. The same way there are shifts and changing of the guard in heaven. There are shifts on earth. You can tell when the guards are changing in heaven. When things are happening in heaven, on earth, the creatures feel it and the creatures act differently. You know, sometimes I have the privilege, I come here early on a Shabbos morning, walking to the Nates Minyan, and as I'm walking, I hear the birds chirping. I feel like the birds are also davening. They know that it's the sun rising, it's Vasik, and they're also davening. So the creatures are also, they're aware of what's happening in heaven. D'tanya, this is what we learned in a Braisa. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Rebbe Eliezer teaches, Shalosh Mishmaro Savia Laila. There are three shifts of angels during the night. Baal Kol Mishmaro Mishmar, and for every shift, during the change of the shift, Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Shoei Kari. God sits And when a new group of angels comes in, he roars in pain, in sorrow, like a lion, mourning, as we're going to see. He's upset about the loss of the Beit HaMikdash. He's saying, it's so nice that the angels sing, but it would have been nicer to hear the Levim sing in the Beit HaMikdash. This is nothing from what should be and what used to be. Shenemar, how do we know that there are three shifts? Says Rebbe Lezer, because the words in the verse of screaming are mentioned three times. The verse says, Hashem mimarom, God from above, yishag, roars. That's number one. Umi ma'on kadsho, and from his holy residence, yitain kolo, he'll give his voice. And now number two, sha'og, he'll roar. Yishag, he will roar. So three times saying the same word, he will roar, because for each shift he roars. What's he roaring about? Al naveyu, about the loss of his temple, about the loss of his Beis HaMikdash. So how do we know on earth what's going on? How do we know during here? What do we see on earth, which is the sign that things are happening in heaven? Similar davar. The signs of the matter are like this. Mishmar Rishona for the first shift. Chamor No'er. That's when you hear donkeys braying. When you hear a donkey braying, why are they braying in the middle of the night? Because they are sensing that in heaven there's a change going on. There's the first shift singing. That's why they're braying. So that's why Rebbe Elazar said the end of the first shift. Because he's saying, you want to know what's your end time for Shema? When you hear the donkeys making noise, that's it. That's the end time for Shema. Shnia, what's the second shift sign? Klavim Tzoakim, the dogs howling. Shlishis, the sign of the third shift, is Tinok Yonek Mishdei Imo. It's when the baby wakes up and it wants to nurse from its mother's breast. The Isha Misaperes Im Ba'ala. Or a wife wakes up, she wants to have a conversation with her husband. So now the Gemara says, this lesson, very beautiful, very poetic, doesn't seem to make sense. Michael Chazir Rebbe Elazar, what's Rebbe Elazar counting? When he says the signs of the three shifts are the donkeys, the dogs, and the people, respectively. I don't understand. The shifts are how we divide up the night. So if it's the beginning of a shift, I don't need a sign for the first shift, because the beginning is when the sun is down and the stars come out. That's the beginning of the first shift. And if he's counting the ends of shifts, I don't need a sign for the last shift, because the sign for the last shift will be Avodah Shachar, when there's light out. So that's the Gemara asks. What's Rebbe Elazar counting? Itzchilas Mishmaros Kachashif. If he's counting the beginning of shifts, Tzchilas Mishmar Rishona Simana Lamali. What do I need to have a sign for the beginning of the first shift? Or two, it's when it's the beginning of the night. Isof Mishmaros Kachashif. And if he's counting the end of each shift, Sof Mishmar Achrona Lamali. Why do I need to have a sign for the end of the last shift? Yemamu, it's when it's day. So the Gemara answers. Ella, two answers. Proposal number one. Ella may be Chashiv Sof Mishmar Rishona. He's counting the end of the first shift. The end of the first shift is the donkeys braying. So that's how you know to stop saying Shema, according to Belezer. Utchilas Mishmar Achrona. Now, if he's counting ends of shifts, he wouldn't need the end of the third shift, so he's counting the beginning of the third shift. So if he's counting the end of the first shift and the beginning of the third shift, so what's he doing with the second shift? If in the second shift, this is the end of the second shift, that's the same time as the beginning of the third shift. So, emtsayis emtsisa, in the middle of the second shift. So, the end of the first shift is the donkey. The middle of the middle shift is the dogs. And the beginning of the third shift is the people. Alternatively, I can tell you another answer. Each of these signs are the marking point of the end of a shift. The end of the first shift is the donkeys. The end of the second shift is the dogs. The end of the third shift are the people. So you say, well, what do I need an end of a third shift sign? It's when it's light. If you're going to tell me, Achrona lo tzarech, I don't need the last sign. No, I do need the last sign. Maybe you don't see the light. You're sleeping in a basement and there are no windows. Why is it necessary? For a person to know, to read the Shema of morning, for a person who's sleeping in a dark room. He's not going to know when the time of Kriyat Shema is, because he doesn't have any light. He doesn't see the light. Once his wife is waking up to talk to him, or Tinok Yonek Mishdeimo, or his baby is waking up because the baby wants to nurse, that's the sign that it is morning. Leikum Velikri, he should get up and read Shema. Amr Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Mishmei DeRav. Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, explain the name of Rav. Shalosh Mishmaros Havya Laila. There are three shifts of angels singing during the night. Val Kol Mishmar Mishmar. And for every change of shift, Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God sits down, v'sho'eg ka'ari, and he roars like a lion, v'omer, what does he say? He says, oy labanim, woe to the children, she'abavonoseyam, because of their sins, hichravti es beisi, I ruined my house, v'sarafti es eichali, and I burned my temple, V'higlisim levein umos ha'olam, and I exiled them amongst the nations of the world because of their sins. So this is actually recorded in the Halacha, this Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch says, the very beginning of Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Aleph, Seif Beis, if a person is nocturnal, he likes to wake up in the middle of the night, and he wants to wake up and do something purposeful, it's a good idea to wake up at these times. Wake up at 10 o'clock, wake up at 2 a.m., wake up at the time when there's a change of shift, say some Tehillim for the loss of the Beit HaMikdash, then you'll be praying for the same thing that Hashem is praying for at that time, and it's an Es Ratzon, it's a time of favor to bring about a lot of good things for the Jewish people. Tanya, we'll enter the Braisa. Amar Reb Yossi, again, talking about this fact that God mourns the loss of the Beit HaMikdash. He does it three times a night. So Reb Yossi said, Pamachas Yisim Alech Baderech, one time I was traveling on the road, and I needed to daven, I guess Shachris or Mincha. I had to say Shemona Esrei. And when you say Shemona Esrei, you're supposed to say it with your feet together. I'm going to stand on the road. There are people traveling with his feet together. So he didn't want to do that. Nichnasti l'chur v'achas, mechurvas Yerushalayim, l'espalel. I walked into one of the ruins of Jerusalem, one of the buildings that had been collapsed, was old building, the walls had fallen in, or the roof had fallen in, and I stood there to daven Shemona Esrei. Boy, Elio zarchu l'tov, Elio Hanavi came. V'shamar li ala Pesach, he waited for me by the doorway. Atches yamtet filasi, till I finished my prayers. L'achashas yamtet filasi, after I finished my prayers, Amar li, Elio Hanavi said to me, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, peace to you, my teacher. Wow, the humility of Eliyahu Hanavi. He says to Reb Yossi, peace to you, my teacher. Amarti lo, so Reb Yossi said back to him, Shalom Alecha Rabbi Umori, peace to you, my teacher and master. You know, if you're calling me a teacher, what are you? Amarli, so then he said to me, Bini, my son, why'd you walk into this ruin? Amarti lo, I said to him, L'espalel, I came in to pray. Seishwana Esrei, Amarli, he said to me, one second, Hayalocha L'espalel Baderech, you should have prayed on the road. I said to him, how could I pray on the road? I was worried if I'd stand on the road with my feet together, people walking by are going to knock into me, they're going to interrupt me. Amar li Eliyahu Hanavi told me an important lesson. You can daven an abbreviated prayer. If you're in a place where there's no time because people are walking by, so you don't say 18 blessings of Shmona Esrei, you say 7 blessings, the first 3 blessings, the last 3 blessings, and all the middle blessings become one blessing. It's called the blessing of Havinenu. And every point is 3 words. Chaneinu, you know, Chaneinu Mitzchadas, and then the next word. Hashiveinu L'Toratecha. Every blessing becomes 3 words. It becomes one paragraph. He could have had a short prayer. So, Ba'osu Shalom, Amti Mimenu Shloshet Varm. So, Rabbi Yossi said, at that moment, I learned from Eliyahu Hanavi 3 things. One, Lamadati Sheinichnasan L'Chorva. I learned that, number one, it's dangerous to go into a ruin. We should never do dangerous things. The ruin might collapse, as we'll see. Number two, Lamadati Shemespalim Baderech. I learned that you can even pray while you're on the road. You can say Shemona Esrei there. Lamadati, and I learned a third thing. Hamespalim Baderech. If you pray when you're standing on the road, Mespalot Tfiluk Tzar. You make it a short prayer. Amar li, then Eliyahu Hanavi said to me, Bini, my son, Ma kol shamata b'chor vazu? What voice did you hear in this room? Amarti lo, I said to him, Shamati baskol. I heard a heavenly voice. Sheminahemes kiyona, which was echoing like a dove, for Omeres, and God was saying, Oy labanim, woe to the children, shebavanoseim echraftias besi, that because of their sins I destroyed my house. The seraftias echali, and I burnt my temple, v'iglisim levena umos, and I've exiled them amongst the nations. For Amar li, and Eliyahu Hanavi told me, chayech, I swear by your life, v'chaye roshcha, and the life of every part of your head. Lo shazu bilvad Omeres kach, it wasn't just this moment that it says it. But every day, shalosh pam, 3 times omer es kach, the Almighty says it 3 times. And not only that, whenever Jews gather in a synagogue or in a Beis Medrash and they learn some Torah, and after they learn Torah, they say, let's say a Kaddish Drabanan. For Onin, and they respond to the Kaddish Drabanan, they say, may the great name be blessed, may the name be increased, may it be blessed. That's really a cry for Kiddush Shem Shemayim, for the sanctification of God's name. That's a cry for redemption. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menaneh Arosho, God nods his head, V'omer, and he says, Ashri HaMelech, fortunate is the king, Shemekalsan Oso Beveso Kach, that they praise him this way in his own home. Malo La'av Shiglas Banav, in other words, woe to the father that he exiled his sons. Oy Lehem Labanim, and woe to the children. Shagalu Me'al Shulchan Avihem, that they've been exiled from their father's table. The Tur quotes this Gemara, and he suggests that this is why we say Kaddish in Aramaic, because when we say Kaddish, we evoke this declaration, Yehesh Me'Rabba Mevarach, And when we say Yesh Mei Rabbi Mevarach, God mourns the loss of the Beit HaMikdash. So the angels, when they see that, they're going to jump in and they're going to say, oh, the Jews caused the loss of the Beit HaMikdash. They're still doing sins. It's going to remind God of sins. It'll cause Kitrugim. So that's why we say it in Aramaic, so that the angels don't understand Aramaic, and therefore they don't have a license to be makatrig, to say negative things about us. Okay, going into this side issue of going into a ruin, that Eliyahu HaNavi taught Rabbi Yossi, it's not right to go into a ruin. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa, mipnei shlosha dvarim ein nechnasim l'churva. There are three reasons not to go into a ruin. This is the braisa. So if the braisa says there are three reasons, why do I have to say three reasons? I could have said one reason. If it says three reasons, apparently each reason applies in a situation where the other reasons don't apply. So the Gemara is going to figure out, how do you have a situation for each reason? What's the situation that fits for each reason? So what are the three reasons not to go into a ruin? Number one, Pnei Chshad. A person who goes into a ruin, people might suspect that why is he going into a ruin? He's doing illicit activity. Maybe there's a prostitute meeting him there. Maybe his girlfriend, who's somebody else's wife, is meeting him there. So number one, it's going to cause people to suspect him. And we're not allowed to do things that make people suspect us of misbehavior. Number two, Mipnei HaMapolas. Don't go into a ruin. It's dangerous. Don't do anything dangerous. The building can fall down. It's a ruin. It already partially fell down. Maybe the wall will fall down. So don't go into a ruin because it's dangerous. And number three, Mipnei HaMazikin. The Gemara seemingly believed in all sorts of angels, damaging angels also, like devil angels. And these devil angels cause problems. When they're around, they make trouble. So a ruin, a place of destruction, that's where the devil angels are. A person goes in there, can get hurt. He can go crazy, he can get physically hurt, he can be hurt. So don't go in there because of the mazikin. So now the Gemara says, why do you need three reasons? Don't go in because of suspicion. Just say don't go in because it might fall down on you, because it's dangerous. Now starting Gimel Amid Beis, answers the Gemara, we're talking about Bechadati. It's a new rune. So the wall still looks very firm, Rashi says. It just fell, the roof just fell in, but the wall looks good and strong. So the Gemara says, okay, so that's why you don't have a worry that it's going to fall in. You just have a worry of suspicion. But typically, Mishum Azikin, say don't go into the room because the damaging angels are there. The Gemara says, betray. It's two people walking into the room. So if two people are walking in, the damaging angels don't start up. One second, he betrayed. If it's two people walking into the room, chshad nami leka. So then there's no suspicion. If there are two men alone with a woman, there's no prohibition of yichud. So there's no suspicion too. What, one guy's going to do something with the woman, what's the other guy going to do? He's going to watch. He's going to stop. So the Gemara says, no. Betray, upritzi. There's suspicion because it's two people and they're both very immodest. So they're immodest. One guy will do something and the other guy will let it happen. He's not going to stop him. So that's where there's just the issue of suspicion. All right, when do we just have the issue of the ruin falling in? Yipnei HaMapolas. Don't go into a ruin because the ruin might fall in. The reason not to go into the ruin is because of suspicion, we just said. Or the reason not to go in is mazikin, because of the damaging angels. Again, betray, it's two. That's where there's no damaging angels. Uksheri, and they are righteous. So there's no issue of suspicion. But there is an issue that it might fall in. It's not a new ruin, it's an old ruin. Yipnei HaMazikin, then you said a third reason not to go into a ruin is because of damaging angels. The Tepa claim Yipnei Chshad. Why didn't you say that the reason not to go into the ruin is because of suspicion? Who cares of the damaging angels? Or Mapolis, or that it might fall in? Answer the Gemara, Bechor V'chadati. We're talking about a new ruin. So then the wall is still secure. We're not worried it's going to fall in. Uvetrain, it's two people. That's why there's no worry of Chshad, because they're Ksherim, because they're both righteous. So in second, all along you've been saying if it's two people, there's no Mazikin. Even Trey, if it's two people, mazikin nami leka, then you don't even have the damaging angels. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. When there's a place that you know they're damaging angels, and there have been people who've been hurt by these damaging angels many times before, bimakoman chayshinan, in their place where you know that they're damaging angels, then we are worried about getting hurt by the damaging angels, even though it's two people. Ibai is saying, alternatively, lo'olam b'chad, we're talking about one person. That's why he's worried about the damaging angels. Why isn't he worried about, why shouldn't he be worried about it falling in? Bechadati, Bechor Bechadati. It's a new rune. So he's not worried it's going to fall in. So in second, but he if it's one person, forget about the damaging angels. The issue is that he's generating suspicion about himself. No, Dekai Bedabra. We're talking about a rune in the wilderness, in the desert. Tahasa Mishim Chshad Leka. There, going into the rune is not going to generate suspicion. Tahisha Bedabra Lo Shchicha. No one thinks that his girlfriend is meeting him in the wilderness because there are no women out there. And therefore, since there are likely no women out there, there's no issue of chshad, but mishum mazikin ika, but there is an issue of getting hurt by a damaging angel. Okay, going back to the issues of the angels during the night. We had mentioned on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph that there is an argument whether there are three shifts of angels or four shifts of angels. That was our question. Why did Rabbi Elazar say till the end of the first shift? He should have said till the fourth hour. Tanu Rabbanu Hidin Abraisa. Arba Mishmaras Havi Alayla Dibre Rebbe. Rebbe says there are four shifts of angels during the night. Rebbe Nassan Omer Shalosh. Rebbe Nassan says there are only three shifts of angels during the night. What's the sources? My time to Rebbe Nassan. What's the reason of Rebbe Nassan who says that there are three shifts of angels? The Chassidim derives it from a verse in the book of Shoftim about the Shofet Gidon. The verse says, Vayavo Gidon, Gidon came umea isha shirito with 100 people with him, b'kzeh ha-machanet, to the edge of the camp, rosh, at the head of, at the beginning, ha-ashmores ha-tichona, the middle shift. So it was during the night that he attacked the Midianites, and he attacked them at the beginning of the middle shift of the angel, of the angelic shifts. So Tana, we learned in a brice, right? If you have a middle, that means there's one before and one after. We learned in a brice, ain't tichona, there's no such thing as middle, ella, only if, sheyesh lefaneu la-acharea, that there's something before and there's something after. So now, Rebbe says there are four shifts. What's he going to do with this verse? The verse says that there's a middle shift. That means that there's only three shifts. Rebbe will tell you, my tichona, what was the meaning of the middle shift? Achas mina tichona shebit tichonos. One of the two middle shifts. If there are four shifts, you have one before, then two in the middle, and then one after. So one of these middle shifts. Rebbe Nassim will tell you, miksiv tichona shebit tichonos. The verse didn't say at the beginning of the middle of the middle ones. It said at the beginning of the middle one. Tichonot said, it says the middle one. Okay. My time of the Rebbe. Okay, so that's the reasoning of Rebbe Nassim. The reason of Rebbe Nassim is because it says in regards to Gidon that he came at the beginning of the middle shift. The middle implying that there's only one middle. That means that there are three shifts. Now Rebbe says there are four shifts. What's his source? My time of the Rebbe. What's the reasoning of Rebbe? Reb Zvika, Reb Ami, Reb Yeshua ben Levi. Reb Zvika, the name Reb Ami, name Reb Yeshua ben Levi. Kasev Echad Omer. He derives it from the verses about David HaMelech. David HaMelech says in one place in Tehillim, Chatzos Laila Akum Lahodos Lachal Mishpatzei Tzidkecha. In the middle of the night, I get up, I wake up at midnight to thank you for your righteous laws, to thank you for the Torah. So David said he wakes up at midnight. But now we have another verse, Kasev Echad Omer. We have a second verse. The verse says, David HaMelech says, Kidmu Einai Ashmuros. My eyes were before shifts. My eyes get up and they're opening before shifts. So that means, so what is it? Is it before shifts? Or is it before, or is it at midnight? Must mean that midnight is before shifts. See, if you say there are four shifts and each shift is 3 hours, so the first two shifts are 6 hours. Midnight, then you have two shifts. That works. But if you say that there are three shifts and each shift is 4 hours, so the middle of the night is not before shifts, the middle of the night is before a shift and a half. So that's the proof for the view of Rebbe. So Kasav Echonom, the second verse says, Kadmu Einai Ashmuros, my eyes were earlier than the shifts. Okay, so how did it all get resolved? Abba Mishmoras Havi Alayla, must be that there are four shifts to the night. Okay, Rebbe Nassan, what's he going to do with this source? Rebbe Nassan says there are three shifts. How's he going to resolve the contradiction about David HaMelech? So he'll give you two answers. Either Savala Kerebi Yehoshua, he'll say like Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua says later, Ditznan, Rabbi Yoshua Omrad Shalosh Shos, Shekin Derech Malachim Lam B'Shalosh Shos. The later Mishnah is going to discuss what's the timing for the morning Shema. The Torah says, Bikumecha, when you wake up. What is Bikumecha? What is when you wake up? So Rabbi Yoshua says it means till the third hour of the day, because kings wake up in the third hour of the day. So David HaMelech, he's comparing himself to the kings. He says, listen, Hashem, I wake up in the middle of the night, 12 o'clock, that's before shifts. Because if we say there are three shifts in the night, each shift is 4 hours. So before shifts would be before 8 hours. But if middle of the night is before 8 hours, it's 8 hours before when all the other kings wake up. Because all the other kings are waking up at the third hour. He's waking up at 12 o'clock midnight. So he's got a good two shifts to go before everybody else. He got up. He let go of two shifts worth of sleep. Shistile Laila. So there are 6 hours of the night. Vitarta Diyamama plus 2 hours of day. Havalush, day mishmaro. So David is saying, I'm waking up before two shifts. Rav Ashi said another answer. Mishmaro palga, nam mishmaros karilu. Even if each shift is only 4 hours, if David's waking up at midnight, which means that there's another 6 hours of night left to go, he can say, I'm waking up before shifts. Because I'm waking up with 6 hours to go. A shift and a half is also called shift. It's not called one shift. It's called a shift and a half. It's called shifts. Okay. Now, just a side lesson. We had mentioned just a side lesson. Amr Rav Zvika, Amr Rav Ami. We mentioned Rav Ami, the name of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. So now another thing from Rav Ami, the name of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. I'm Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Ein omrim bifnei ames l'dvarav shomes. In front of a dead body, you shouldn't have conversations. You should only talk about the dead body. Talk about the funeral. Talk about the eulogies. Amr Rav Abba Khan explained, Lo Amar, that's only true, El B'divrei Torah. Don't say Torah in front of him. But if you want to talk about politics, that's okay. Matters of the world, it's not a problem. That doesn't offend the dead. Yikadam but others say, Amr Rav Abba Khan, Lo Amar, El Afilu B'divrei Torah. This is true even about Divrei Torah, the Kol Shekein, and certainly, Mili Da'alma, matters of the world, should not be said in front of a dead body. Lahalacha, it's only Divrei Torah, but matters of the world, lahalacha, are allowed to be said in front of a dead body. Okay, going back to David HaMelech. We had mentioned in our discussion of how we know how many shifts there are during the night that a key source is the question of when David HaMelech would wake up. So one verse says, Kidmu Einai Ashmuros, my eyes were up earlier than the shifts of angels. And the other verse said, Chatzos Laila Akum Lodos L'cha Hashem, I wake up in the middle of the night to thank you, Hashem. So we saw that there are two ideas in terms of when David woke up. We said both means the same thing. It's middle of the night, and somehow we have to figure out how the middle of the night is before shifts. So now the Gemara says, is it even true that David woke up at the middle of the night? We have a third verse which implies that David woke up at the beginning of the night, which means that basically he never slept. Maybe he dozed, but basically he's up from the beginning of the night. So that's what the Gemara asks. Is he waking up in the middle of the night? We know he's getting up at the beginning of the night. The Chassid, as it says, Kidamti v'neshef. I was earlier during Neshef v'ashave, and I was calling out to God. Mimaydai Neshef Urtu. How do we know that Neshef means the beginning of night? The Chassid, because there's another verse. It says, B'neshef, during Neshef, which is when? Be'erev Yom, as day sets. Be'ishon Laila, when people are going to sleep at night. V'afela, and it's dark. So you see, Neshef is Be'erev Yom. Neshef is Urta, the beginning of night. So when did David wake up? At the beginning of night? Is he waking up at 6 p.m.? Or is he waking up at 12 a.m.? Amar Rav Hoshaya, Amar Rav Acha. So three answers. Rav Hoshaya is the name of Rav Acha. Hachi Kamar David. This is what David means. He really wakes up typically during the beginning of night. What does he mean when he says, Chatzos Laila Akum, at the middle of the night I get up? Me'olam lo'aver olav Chatzos Laila B'Shena. By the middle of the night, he was never asleep. He was always up by the middle of the night. He often would wake up at the beginning of the night, sometimes not. But by the middle of the night, he was always up. That's what he means. So he was always up at the middle of the night. Rabbi Zeir said a second answer. Ad chatzos laila yimisnamni. Yes, kidamti baneshav. He woke up early in the beginning of the night. But he wasn't fully up. He was dozing. Like a horse, kesus. A horse dozes. He's asleep. He's awake. He's like dozing. Mikan ve'elach, after the middle of the night, hayimizgaber kari. Then he was up like a lion. Rav Ashi said another answer. Ad chatzos laya osek b'divrei Torah. Till the middle of the night, he was busy learning Torah. So from the beginning of the night, he was up. He was learning Torah. Chatzos laya akum lahodos l'cha. The middle of the night, he gets up to thank God, to sing, to compose Tehillim. Mikan ve'elach. After the middle of the night and on, peshiros v'tishbachos. He's busy singing and praising the Almighty. Okay, now a side discussion. The verse had said about David, Ki damti baneshef va'ashaveya. I was up early and I was praying to God during Neshef. So Neshef, he said, is the beginning of the night, as it says, B'neshef be'erev yom. So he asks the Gemara, is that really true? V'neshef, and is it true that Neshef urtu is the beginning of the night? Ha'neshef tzafru. We know that Neshef is actually morning. Dichsiv, as the following verse. The verse says, Vayakem David killed them. Meha Neshef, from Neshef, Ado Erev, until the evening, Limachras, on the next day. So what does it mean? From evening till evening? If it means from night till night, it would have said me Erev Ad Erev, or from Neshef till Neshef. It says from Neshef till Erev, so it must mean he's killing them from morning till evening. My lav mitzafra v'adelayla, must mean it means from morning till night. Says the Gemara, lo, me urta v'ad urta. No, it means from evening till evening, from the beginning of night till beginning of night. Whereas one second, if Neshef means beginning of night, and we know Erev means beginning of night, Lichtov, the verse should have said, Me'a Neshef Ad Neshef, either from Neshef until Neshef, or Me'a Erev Ad Erev, or from evening till evening. Ela Amar Rava, so therefore Rava said, you're right. Neshef can mean morning, but Neshef can also mean night. Neshef can mean both. Because the word Neshef means to slip away. So day slips away and you have night. Night slips away and you have day. So day slips away and you have beginning of night. Night slips away, you have beginning of day, you have morning. Amarava tre nishvihavu. There are two meanings of the word neshef. Nashaf le laya, the night slips away, v'asa yamama, the day enters. Nashaf yamama, the day slips away, v'asa le laila, and the night enters. All right, another side question. We said that David was waking up at the middle of the night, which was before the shifts. Asks the Gemara, v'David and David, miyav yada pagadu laila emas. Did David even know when the middle of the night was? Has to Moshe Rabbeinu lo have a yada. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know when the middle of the night is. As it says in Makas Bechoros, kachatzos halayla, as at around the middle of the night, ani yotzei besoch mitzrayim. I'm going to go out in Egypt, I'm going to kill every firstborn. Now, my kachatzos, what is the meaning of around the middle of the night? That God told Moshe Rabbeinu, at around midnight I'm going out. Does God have any doubts at around midnight? Must be God had said to Moshe at midnight. Vasa Ihu and Moshe Rabbeinu is coming, Vamar, and he says, Kachatzos, at around midnight. Al Masafkleis. So you see, he's not so sure when the middle of the night is.
No, the
president
was, he knew Paro wasn't so sure.
Okay, that's Gemara's going to say that later. Gemara doesn't have that now. Would David know when the middle of the night is? Answer the Gemara, David, Simana Havale. David had a special sign to tell him when the middle of the night was. Vamar, Rav Acha, Rav Biznam, Rav Shimon Chasida. Rav Acha, Rav Biznam, say the name Rav Shimon Chasida. Kinor hayatali lemalim mitasa shel David. There was a harp hanging over the bed of David. It came when shegiya chatzos laila, when the middle of the night would arrive. Ba ruach tzfonis, a northern wind would come. Vinoshevis bo, it would blow against the harp. Umenagin me'elav, and the harp would make music on its own. Miyada ya'omed, and David would right away get up. Osik b'torah, and he'd be busy with Torah. Ad shalom ud ha-shachar, until the morning would rise, until there'd be light out, till there'd be morning. Kevon shalom ud ha-shachar, once there was morning, nichnasu chachmi Yisrael etzlo, the sages of Israel would come in. Amrlo, they would tell him, Adoneinu ha-melech, our master, the king, Amcha Yisrael, tzrichim parnasa, your Jewish people need livelihood. Amrlo, he used to tell them, l'chuvit parnasu zemizeh, go get livelihood one from each other. Amrlo, they would tell David, Eina komitz masbiya sari, a little fistful is not enough for a lion. A little fistful of grain is not enough for a lion. The Jews have big needs, they can't support themselves from within themselves. Or Eina bor mitmalei milchul yato, if you take a pit, that's how you dig up a pit, and you put the dirt back in, it's not going to be full. Because when it was in, all the dirt had air pockets, and you take it out and you put it back in, it's not enough. So within ourselves, it's not going to be enough. Rashi says a different explanation. Rashi says, if you have a pit, you dig something from the bottom, then you drop what you dug back in, you fill up the pit. You didn't fill up the pit. The pit's empty. So we don't have enough. We need to have livelihood from elsewhere. Amalemsi said, okay, so get the livelihood from your neighbors. Go fight with them. Go make a war. War for oil. David HaMelech, he endorsed it. Take the oil. Amalemsi said to them, L'chu, go out, upishti yadechem bigdud. Go put out your hand with the battalion of the battle of fighting. So now, how did Jews go to war? Miyad, first of all, Yotzim b'Achitofel. David HaMelech had a genius advisor by the name of Achitofel, who, it was like asking God, he was such a genius. So they would ask Achitofel for the battle plans. Then Nimlachim the Sanhedrin. Then they would go to the great Torah rabbis, the Sanhedrin, the high court. They'd ask them to pray. And then V'shalim Burim V'tum. Then they would go to the Kohen Gadol, who wore the breastplate, and on the breastplate, inside the breastplate, there were these pieces of parchment that had names of God that would cause the stones of the breastplate to light up with answers to questions. They would ask the Kohen Gadol through the breastplate, give us an answer, God, should we go to war? Amar Rav Yosef, said, Maikra, how do you know that this is the order of going to war? The verse says, Achri Achitofel, after Achitofel, ben Ayo, ben Yoyada, and then Evyasar, and then the Sar Tzaval HaMelech Yoav, then the general for war, for the king, who is Yoav. Achitofel, say Yoetz, that's the advisor. V'chein Omer, as it says, Atzas Achitofel Asher Yoetz B'yom Ha'im Kasher Yishal Ish B'dvar Elohim. The advice of Achitofel in those days was as good as asking of God. B'nayo ben Yoyada, starting Dalam and Aleph. B'nayo ben Yoyada is the Sanhedrin, because he was the head of the Sanhedrin. And Evyasar was the Kohen Gadol, Elulim Betum, that's to ask the breastplate. V'chein Omer, and that's how we know that, how do we know B'nayo is the Sanhedrin? The verse says, B'nayo ben Yoyada ala kresi v'ala plesi. B'nayo ben Yoyada was in charge of the Kresi and Plesi. Why is the Sanhedrin called Kresi and Plesi? Lamanikra Shram Kresi. Uplesi. Kresi means Shekorsim Devrim. They give very precise answers. You ask them, this is what to do. Plesi, the word Plesi, the word Mufla, amazing. Shemuflaim Devrim. Their words are wondrous. So after this order, advice, prayer, and a gift from the Kohen Gadol from prophecy. Achar kach, and then they'd actually go out. Sartzavala Melech, the general of the king, Yoav. Okay, thank you very much.